Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Hey, great to be here.
How are you, brother?
I'm doing great.
We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Ed, tell folks how they can engage with the show.
Well, if you want to engage with the show, the big show, you can go to either YouTube or Facebook and search for Today's Issues. And then you can watch us online. That's right. You can see what we're wearing. You can see the facial expression as we talk, the stories of what's going on in Washington, D.C., when we frown. You can hear us when we groan. And so you can do that at Facebook or YouTube, Today's Issues.
I would resist the urge to comment on things like fashion, for example. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, I absolutely do.
How would you describe Ed's shirt?
Ed has a plaid
colorful
shirt on that's colorful.
I'd say it's almost...
It's a shirt of many colors.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Kind of biblical.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm just going to say it. It's got a rainbow feel to it, but we're talking a Bible rainbow. Not
I wasn't
a gay
even
pride
gonna,
rainbow.
I wasn't going to even bring that up.
Yeah, sure you weren't.
I wasn't going to mention that. I was going to say something about pizza.
Yeah. Again, Ed.
Now I'm thinking about pizza. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
And Ed's getting a little tired of the race of the ethnic stereotypes.
Yes. And pretty soon I'm going to act on being tired.
Although it's a stereotype about Italians liking pizzas. There for a reason.
That's right.
That is absolutely true.
Built on a reason. All right. Again, folks, thanks for watching and or listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. This is a live radio program. We talk about the events going on in our country and in our world. And Fred, start us out here.
Well, there's a new chapter going on as we speak this morning in the Democrat-led impeachment probe of the president. And today it is the House-led Foreign Affairs Committee. Behind closed doors, they're asking questions of the now former U.S. envoy for the Ukraine, Kurt Volker. All right? He resigned recently. And so they want to know because they believe that he perhaps participated in and was involved with the president's discussion, President Trump's discussion with the new leader of the Ukraine, which is what this whistleblower's complaint was all about. But there's a new twist to the story this morning, gentlemen, and this is it. So this, behind closed doors, this Foreign Affairs Committee is meeting. There are two Democrats and only one Republican in the room. However, the Democrats, which now control the House and therefore control these committees, have told the Republicans, you are not allowed to ask any questions of Mr. Volker. You can't ask any questions. We get to ask, Democrats get to ask all the questions of Mr. Volker. Needless to say, Republicans are going ballistic over this. And quite frankly, if you're looking at this from an outsider, this starts to look like what the Republicans are charging the Democrats with. This is a witch hunt.
Right.
If you're serious about finding out the truth about the president's intentions and this, you know, discussion with the Ukrainian leader, why wouldn't you let the Republican ask questions too?
If I was Republicans, I wouldn't participate. I would not go to the meeting. I would not go to the hearing or whatever they're calling it, the interview with Kurt Volker. I'd skip it, and I'd say, if we're not allowed to do our constitutionally ordained duties, if the Democrats want to have a witch hunt, let them do it on their own.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way Republicans ought to act. I get frustrated that they don't. They don't play any hardball.
Maybe they will here this time. You know, I'd feel the same way if it were reversed, if the roles were reversed, wouldn't you?
Right. Absolutely.
If the Republicans held a committee, is it behind closed doors?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they said, a single Democrat can come, but you can't ask any questions. What?
Anyway. What's the purpose of having me? That's what I would say. I would say, why am I there? I'm not a potted plant.
Right.
Well, it's interesting. The ranking member on the Foreign Affairs Committee, the House Foreign Affairs Committee, is Congressman Michael McCaul of Texas. Now, he's written a letter to the chairman, Elliot Engel of New York, and he argues that despite statements made by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats, there is not a House of Representatives impeachment inquiry underway because the entire House has not voted on this matter. And in this letter, he goes back citing House rules on how this is supposed to be handled. Now, we talked about this, I think, either yesterday or on Tuesday, the fact that no vote has been taken in the House yet. This goes against, according to McCaul, House rules. So, it paints a picture of Democrats trying to railroad something through instead of following the procedures.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, if you had an independent news media, like we all wish we did, these are the kind of things that everyone would be hearing about. But these are the kind of things that very few people are hearing about because only the small portion of the media that is conservative or fair-minded, however you want to put it, is going to talk about these things. Most people probably don't even know that they haven't taken a vote for the inquiry yet.
You know, related to this, President Trump is firing back as his custom, right? And now he's asking for, you know, that the Chinese investigate the Bidens, and he's doing so publicly. You know, there is a context to this that the liberal news media conveniently leaves out because they don't want to talk about it, this whole thing with Joe Biden, the former vice president, and his son, Hunter Biden. When the president is talking about, even on the phone there with the Ukrainian new president, or if he's, what does he say? He says, quote, President Trump, because what happened in China is just about as bad as what happened with the Ukraine. So I would see, he's talking about Biden and his family profiting off his vice presidency, right? His influence. And so the things that Hunter Biden did, the son of Joe Biden, looked so bad that even Michael Moore, the socialist guy.
Documentary filmmaker.
The pudgy guy who wears the hat all the time
on
TV, the documentary guy. Him and Bill Maher. Bill Maher, who detests President Trump.
Right.
And also is a, anyway, I don't have.
Anyone to the right of Lenin.
Right. He's saying Biden should be done. Because of the appearance of improprieties,
right.
Or the pay per play, so to speak. So I'm just saying that what the president is talking about, and I don't have the details, Walker does, he knows, but when you have a fellow making $50,000 a month sitting on the board of an American citizen sitting on the board of a Ukrainian energy company, and he has no experience in that field, right?
Right.
Then you have to, and his name is Biden.
Yes.
It does make you, Elizabeth Warren even the other day was saying, you know, you shouldn't be sitting on boards like this. So.
And that was while Joe Biden was president, vice president.
Yes. Right. And it's when Joe Biden told the Ukrainian officials, whoever they were, the president, whoever, that they needed to fire the what amounts to the attorney general of Ukraine, who was investigating the company that Hunter Biden sat on their board. So
that doesn't stink, does it?
What I'm saying to you is that is a context that's more than, oh, President Trump was just trying to dig up dirt on his political opponent.
Right.
Okay, there is more to say there, and the media is sort of conveniently leaving that out, meaning the media. With respect to China, I, again, I wish Walker were here because he knows exactly what, maybe you do, Fred, what the complaint is that the president's talking about.
It was some kind of contractual deal with a Chinese company that benefited Hunter Biden.
And after Hunter Biden flew on Air Force Two
correct.
To China
yes.
with his dad, mm-hmm. within like 2 weeks of that.
He would know the names of the companies, but this is Hunter Biden was a part of the leadership of this company along with John Kerry's stepson, last name Hines. And apparently what happened was that this company was capitalized by a loan from a Chinese bank. Mm-hmm. And then that company bought another company that makes sensitive military equipment, mm-hmm. which some assert gives the Chinese bank access and also the company through which this was done, gave that company access to that sensitive U.S. military hardware.
Yes.
And this is already a company in China that was known for attempting to steal U.S. secrets.
Yes.
So was there money that benefited Hunter Biden?
Those are reasonable inquiries.
Absolutely.
So, but when you say those things, the Democrats say, "Oh, there you go, just looking for more dirt on your political opponent." You know, like they're pure as the driven snow.
Right.
On looking for dirt on, that's how the whole Russia hoax investigation started. So, you know, President Trump is he's lashing out. He's upset. We'll see what. Obviously, you can understand.
On top of that, you have Biden officially saying in recent days that he hadn't talked to his son about his business dealings.
Nobody believes that
for a
You're
second.
On Air Force Two, traveling to China together on the same plane.
Right.
And you're not talking about business?
Yeah. No, listen.
For nine hours?
I heard Newt Gingrich address this issue, and he said, listen, I know just about everything that goes on. I think he was talking about his daughter. I don't know how many grown children Newt Gingrich has, but he said, if she gets a good job, I want to hear all about it. I ask my children. So to your point, Tim, nobody who has grown kids believes that Joe Biden never talks to his son about his professional life.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. So anyway, again, you have to remember this is these things took place while Joe Biden was the vice president of the United States. And that's what President Trump is talking about. I laugh because I think President Trump is thinking to himself, you know, I've been investigated down to what kind of underwear I wear. It's time somebody else is investigated.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's sitting there seeing these things that we just talked about with former vice president going, why don't you look into these things?
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, the Democrats forge ahead with, well, no, they're not forging ahead. I don't know if you would call it that because they say they're going to move swiftly, Fred, on impeachment, but I don't know why you don't do it today. What are they waiting on to vote on impeachment?
Well, they're getting
they've already got their minds made up.
They're getting lots of media attention. But, you know, the longer this, to your point, though, Tim, the longer this rolls along.
Yeah.
You know, media outlets start to look at certain things, and to that point, Reuters News is reporting this, and I'll just read the first paragraph of Reuters News, which is not a conservative news organization.
Right.
The Democratic head of the House Intelligence Committee, Congressman Adam Schiff of California, learned about the outlines of a CIA officer's concerns that President Trump had abused his power days before the officer filed a whistleblower complaint, according to a spokesman and current and former American officials. All right, so the claim is being made that Schiff and his people talked to people related to this whistleblower's complaint. So they were aware of it before we knew and it was made public. All right? Now, I want you to listen to a clip of Adam Schiff in recent days, and I think this was an interview with Fox News, claiming that he had not spoken to the whistleblower. Cut number 11.
We have not spoken directly with the whistleblower. We would like to, but I'm sure the whistleblower has concerns that he has not been advised, as the law requires, by the Inspector General or the Director of National Intelligence, just as to how he is to communicate with Congress.
Now, we're not there yet, but there you have a conflict between what Reuters News is reporting, that somehow there was a meeting between Schiff's office. We don't know if it was the whistleblower or somebody connected to the whistleblower, talking about what the whistleblower planned to make public days before it was made public. But Adam Schiff saying, we didn't talk. He said, I think he said, play that again. I think he said directly.
We have not spoken directly with the whistleblower. We would like to, but I'm sure the whistleblower has concerns that he has not been advised, as the law requires, by the Inspector General or the Director of National Intelligence, just as to how he is to communicate with Congress.
One could speculate that the whistleblower or his contacts met with Schiff's office to get some cues, to get some advice on how to go about this.
Yeah, that's lawyer talk. I mean, he is choosing his words exactly to give the impression. We haven't been in these conversations, but when he says directly, then you say, oh, you know, the follow-up should have been, I didn't hear the interview, so have you communicated indirectly?
Yes.
But that's kind of lawyer speak. Most of the people in Congress are lawyers.
We could just cut through all this, really. Don't we all? Doesn't all of America know? Just hold a vote today in the House, and who's for impeachment? Raise your hand.
Right.
We don't need all these investigations. We don't need all these dog and pony show.
Because it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. Who hates Trump? Raise your hand.
Right.
And the Democrats raise their hand, and they have enough votes, if they vote a party line, to have a majority to say, we hate Trump. And he needs to be impeached. Now, if they want to throw in racist and bigot and misogynist and,
eats unhealthy because he eats McDonald's.
You know, in parentheses, they can vote on that too, I guess, as all-inclusive.
Right.
But what I'm saying to you, this is not, we all know, they've already announced, the Democrats announced from day one, they were the resistance.
Right.
Right? They were the resistance. So we all know how this is. Maybe Nancy Pelosi feels like, as Democrat, maybe she feels like strategically she needs to do this, and this will embarrass and or damage President Trump with the voters in Middle America, so to speak. I say so to speak. I mean, in those states that are the swing states, and
right.
And therefore help the Democrats win the presidential election. I'm guessing that's what she's gambling.
Yeah.
What she's gambling on, because still a majority of people in this country don't want to see our Congress go through an impeachment of the sitting president. And by the way, we have an election in 13 months. If you want to impeach, I put that in quotations, President Trump, you'll have your opportunity, all right?
In terms of removing him from office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The American people can vote him out, right, if they want to.
I will say this, though. I think the hatred level on the part of the Democrats is not just we want him out of office. Mm-hmm. We want him crawling out, humiliated. Mm-hmm. I think that enters into it too.
Mm-hmm. You think? Let me ask you this question. We talked about this before. This is a matter of opinion, and we do share our opinions sometimes. Let me ask you this question. What do you think were the two reasons why the vitriol and the hatred and the resistance to President Trump before he was even sworn into office by the left, other than the usual things, you know, they don't like his policy positions because they don't like any Republican policy positions. But there seemed to be an extra level of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Of animus.
Well,
so
I'll give you my opinion because I can't.
Because one other caveat to this, if it were Mike Pence who were president, I could maybe understand more because he is an evangelical Christian. And these people despise, by these people I mean the secular left, They despise evangelical Christians because we are deplorables. We are yahoos. We are backwards hicks, okay? You know what I'm saying? Who believe in that fundamentalism.
Right.
So they have a special place in their heart for us.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But President Trump, he exceeds that. Huh?
Their hostility even exceeds that, I think. And this is just, again, I can't read into their hearts. Just from all the stuff that's been said, I think it is a combination of the shock that he won.
Still? That's been ongoing.
I just think that this reverberates. This turned their feelings into concrete. The shock that he won and stopped history in their minds from occurring. The first woman president carrying on the legacy of Barack Obama, and the fact, now I'm using their thinking here, this is not my opinion, and the fact that it was that buffoon who beat them. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump, who is a street fighter, he fights back, he fights them like they fight everybody, which they don't like. And I think it's just a combination of all those things. And in their minds, that kind of calcified their absolute hatred for this guy because, I mean, that's why they think he's Hitler, because he came out of nowhere, quote unquote, to stop the progress of history.
Yep.
And this guy, to them, is such a despicable human being that their hatred is of a deep emotional kind, rather than the kind of policy, worldview, antagonism that you'd get with a Mike Pence.
Well, and I think to Ed's point on he stopped their agenda. And their agenda, you know, Donald Trump, remember that moment in his debate with Hillary Clinton when he talked about his pro-life message.
Right.
And his pro-life priorities. And he's been good on that. He's trying to stop funding to Planned Parenthood.
Right.
So he's not. Border security. They are globalists. You know, the Democrats and the mainstream media are globalists. In other words, border security, security along our is not a priority. In fact, let's paint any attempt to secure our southern border as racism.
Right.
They want open refugee policy. Everybody come on in. And the way we'll attack Trump on that, he's a racist. So that's part of the agenda. And the other part of that is his strong stance for Israel. That's another ingredient.
You really think that's
yes.
Well, and let me just add to that, because I think you're making a good point, Fred. What's kept the hate alive is that he's done everything he said he was going to do.
Yes.
They are infuriated not only that he said build the wall, he's insisted on trying to do it. He has done all kinds of pro-life stuff, and he has been filling the judiciary with conservative constitutional judges, which is why some of the Democrats gave that implied threat to the Supreme Court in one of those briefs they filed, saying the Supreme Court is sick. You better heal yourself, or maybe we might have to take steps to heal. So it's the fact that he has actually been carrying out all the things he said. Mm-hmm. I think that's kept the hate alive.
Yeah. And as part of their modus operandi, too, is
keep hate alive? Is that a good slogan for a campaign?
For the Democrats, it is.
Yeah. Okay. And I cannot, you know, underscore this enough that the mainstream media is all in on this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's
over and over and over again. That's proven. I think they're in the camp. Ed talked about this. This guy, to them, Trump is a buffoon.
Uh-huh.
And he's a global. Global warming denier.
Right.
So he's uneducated.
You remember all the media people laughing when the name Trump came up as a possible winner for the presidency? Remember Ann Coulter saying, I think Trump can win. They just thought that was hilarious.
Right. All right, we shall return momentarily with more of today's issues. Dr. Alex McFarland will be with us in just a little while. Stay with us.
Trivia Friday.
Star Trek question. What powers the impulse drive?
Dilithium crystals?
My second cousin twice removed was on dilithium crystals. And every time when everybody's sitting around trying to have some peace and quiet, his arm would fly up in the air. You didn't know if he was trying to salute you or get somebody's attention.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central.
And two different times when he tried to say something, the garage door went up and down.
On American Family Radio.
Random.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, one of the days that we're in Israel on our March tour, we will be going to Bethlehem. And when we go to Bethlehem, we'll be visiting what's called the Church of the Nativity. And the Church of the Nativity is over the place where Jesus Christ was born. And so we're going to be seeing that very place and experiencing the place where Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And then later, we'll be seeing the shepherd's fields later that same day. So it's going to be a wonderful time. That's just one day in our trip to Israel. For more information on this March 12th through the 20th trip to the Holy Land, go to our website, twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
An honest discussion about climate change coming up.
True at McConnell University.
My name is Dr. Robert Bowen. I am the Dean of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, and I'm an Associate Professor of Physiology. So one of the benefits of being a faculty member at TMU is not only are we allowed to speak the gospel in the classroom and within our areas of discipline, we're encouraged to do so. Everybody needs to know the love of Christ. And so I try to incorporate in my classes, and one of the places that I incorporate in the most is in my office when I have students come in.
Are you called? Visit truitt.edu. Today.
The only person more despised than a Trump supporter is someone who refuses to accept global warming as proven science, and I'm one of those people. I believe God made the heavens and the earth, and I don't believe man has the power to destroy what God created. Now, the Democrats would have you believe that we're living in the last days. They say the hurricanes are getting worse, and so are the heat waves and the cold snaps, but the facts prove otherwise. For example, the worst hurricane on record happened in 1926, Miami, Florida. The worst snowstorm, 1880. The most dangerous heat wave in 1911 in North America. And in 1913, Furnace Creek, California recorded a high of 134 degrees, the highest ambient air temperature recorded on Earth. So climate change really comes down to a simple question. Do you believe in God's word or Al Gore's? I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. Today's Issues, the name of the program here on American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at this address, comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. I'm Tim with Ed and Fred. Next story, Fred.
Well, hey, before we go on to stories, let me go ahead and
please do
let our listeners know that, if they didn't know, we have Share-a-thon coming up October, is it 15, 16, 17? And we are gathering stories now to play during our October Share-a-thon. And so, listeners, we'd like to hear from you. And here's what we're asking. Has American Family Radio made a difference in your life? Have we been there, given the right thought at just the right time, that kind of thing? So we'd like to hear your AFR story. And I'm going to give you the phone number in just a second, because this would be a real blessing to other people who listen and who will be listening during Share-a-thon. Now, we're only asking you to call and share for a minute or two, okay? You don't have to give everything that's happened to you in your life, just a minute or two, and you might hear yourself during Share-a-thon. If that is something you'd like to do, to share your story with others, here's the number to call, 877-876-8893, 877-876-8893. We encourage you to share your AFR story with our listeners during Share-a-thon.
All right, next story. squad time. We haven't done squad news.
The mod squad?
kind of like the Mod Squad. But you're going to get only baby boomers knowing what that is.
They get a lot of print, and they bring it upon themselves. Rashida Tlaib, Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib from Michigan. Well, she was doing a little tour down at the Detroit police station the other day. You may have heard this, and she was being shown by the chief of police there, James Craig, some new facial recognition procedures that were being used. And her question after being shown this is, and she thought that only people, African Americans, should get the job of looking at the faces of suspects. All right? So here's what she had to say. Rashida Tlaib, cut number three.
Analysts need to be African Americans, not people that are not. Because let me tell you, no, it happens all the time. Okay. It's true. Okay. I mean, I think non-African Americans think African Americans all look the same. I've seen it even on the House floor, people calling Elijah Cummings John Lewis and John Lewis Elijah Cummings, and they're totally different people. I'm just saying.
That's just perfect.
I see it all the time, and I love them because they, like, go along with it.
Well, I trust people who are trained.
I know.
Regardless of race. Regardless of gender, it's about the training.
But it does make a huge difference.
So
that was Rashida Tlaib saying white people should not be hired for the job of analyzing.
What about anybody but a black?
That's basically what she was saying.
Not just white folks, I guess. Asian.
No, she said.
But she specifically said.
Yeah, I think she would include Hispanic and.
Eskimos?
Well, and, you know, Chinese.
Aborigines?
Would you? Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, do I need to go down the list
that
are unqualified?
Well, she would. She might.
Can you imagine for a moment if a congressperson said...
I know where you're going with this.
All right. Only white people should be hired to do this job because people of any other color, they're just not qualified. Can you imagine?
It'd be a national scandal.
A national scandal.
Oh, my word. So
anyway, the Detroit police chief is talking more about
himself, an African American, as we mentioned
yes,
yesterday.
Himself an
yes,
African American.
Good for this gentleman.
Is firing back. Cut number one.
My staff goes through intense training with the FBI, and so they're not looking at race, but it's measurements. And so, and I tried to explain it to her. The analyst tried to explain it to her, and so we were appalled when she made the statement.
Good for him.
Yes.
Appalled. At that statement.
And I'll tell you why he's appalled, because the difference between the Detroit police chief, James Craig, who is black, and Representative Rashida Tlaib, the representative from Michigan, who is black, is that Tlaib is an ideologue who is going according to her emotional ideology and hatred for white people. The police chief, James Craig, is a professional, not an ideologue. He wants his department to operate with excellence and professionalism, and that's why he is saying we're not doing that, and we were appalled by it, and good on him. And let me just for Representative Tlaib's, good sense, maybe she may rethink her statement. I doubt it. I'm not going to hold my breath. I have mistaken white people before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Liam Neeson, actors, usually in actresses. Is that Liam Neeson? No, that's Ralph Fiennes. You know, is that Natalie Portman? No, that's Keira Knightley. They do that all the time. People, if you're not around people a lot of time, it's easy to just get a sense of what someone looks like and then think that I would be able to pick out Rashida Tlaib in a crowded room full of black people. I wouldn't say they all look alike. It's an absurd argument. I'm not saying it never happens, but it happens with white people and white people, too. It's just human nature.
Yeah, but once again, what an indictment against the mainstream media. Very few have picked up this story. Very few. Fox News did pick it up. But when you go down the line of other media, they don't even want to talk about these incidents.
Right.
So that's why we talk about double standard a lot here but when it comes to the media and how they're treating conservatives versus liberals. Rashida Tlaib can almost say anything.
Well, we talked about yesterday the fact that she has retweeted statements about four hoaxes.
Yes.
And has not recanted any of them.
Yes. The Smollett case.
Yes.
The case of the grade six student the other day who right. lied about white people, white kids cutting off her dreadlocks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She was out there in front. I mean, she was one of the first in the case of the young man, the pro-life. No, the, and also the pro-life.
Yes. That was the Covington.
Yes.
Catholic boys.
Tlaib. She's a. From the Detroit area?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
In the Arab?
Yes, Muslim.
She's part of the city?
Yep.
Is she African-American?
No.
Oh, she's not?
She's Palestinian. Remember she was going to go back to Israel.
There you go.
Yeah.
I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm a racist.
Yeah. Glad you don't live in China. Huh? Could you tell the difference between those? Huh? Can you tell the difference between Chinese people? Very, very well.
I would assume so if I was around one, a couple of...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
You have to be around people to...
Right.
I think that's the point behind the argument she's making, is that if white people aren't around a lot of black people, we have plenty of black people working here. I don't mistake right. them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
I don't know. So, but people find racism under every rock.
Well, if your ideology even if says that all white people are racist.
Well, if you start there.
You mean, start there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And she knows she can say anything because the media won't hold her accountable for it.
Gotcha.
All right. Speaking of holding people accountable, one of the other election issues that continues to brew out there is that the Democrat candidates for who want to be the next president are out there banging the drum with regards to gun control. And a couple of examples we want to play for you this morning. Senator Cory Booker from New Jersey, is all in for mandatory gun confiscation. So this is cut number 7.
Mandatory buyback, voluntary buyback.
This is another thing that to me is just, again, absurd. Let's start with what we're talking about here.
We're talking about
assault rifles. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I want to be clear
okay.
exactly what we're talking about. Again, the overwhelming majority of Americans, over 75%, does not believe that we should have these weapons of war on our street.
So how do you get them off the street?
So you have a mandatory buyback program.
Well, not only that, Joe Biden is also suggesting...
I'd throw in 2 tickets to Disney World, but that's just me. I mean, I think you're going to get more, more participation. Huh? Go ahead.
Joe Biden thinks that there should be an inclusion into a national gun registry for people who have these. It's cut number 2.
Under the Firearms Act of 1934, there was a situation where when they outlawed machine guns, they said, okay, you can continue to have the machine gun if you own it, but guess what? You got to let us know you have one.
National Firearms Act.
You got it. I want that for all assault weapons. I want that for magazines. Because what happens is, if we know you have one, the likelihood of that ever being used in a commission of a crime after a voluntary buyback is highly unlikely.
He's talking about going after all semi-automatic firearms. There's no such thing as an assault weapon. You either have something that's semi-automatic or you have something that's select fire, you have full auto. These terms are incredibly important because this dictates what law comes into play. And it also is the difference between misdemeanors and felonies, too. It's very important that these candidates, if they want to show that they are as passionate about this issue as they claim to be, do more than virtue signal.
All right,
bingo.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And the reason why they don't get specific when they discuss it is because this isn't about specifics. This is about their ultimate goal to undercut, gut the Second Amendment. So the more they talk about weapons of war, as if that's really the issue here, the more people go, all right, so yeah, I think maybe we ought to collect all the AR-15s out there, you know, because those are AR stands for assault rifle, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not what it stands for. It's Armalite. That's the brand.
Yeah.
And he said as well, register magazines.
That's right.
So Joe Biden is creeping towards a national gun registry, which the next step would be confiscation.
Yep.
In an event of an emergency,
yep.
like Hurricane Katrina in 2005, when weapons were confiscated. Illegally.
Part of the
agenda.
I'm just
in a bad mood today. I don't know why.
Part of the agenda.
Him being in a bad mood? Is part of the agenda?
Hey, you know what? It is your crack about pizza at the beginning, Fred.
Right, right.
It has just soured my whole.
That triggered him.
That's right. I'm triggered.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Dr. Alex McFarland, who's the co-host of Exploring the Word each afternoon here on American Family Radio from 3:05 to 4 o'clock Central Time. A live on-air Bible study is what that show is about. Unique, really. I don't know of any other program like it. Maybe there are others. But Alex joins us now. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, everybody.
Are you aware of anything quite like what you and Bert do each day?
Not exactly. Not a live show. And we're in the book of Ecclesiastes now, some of Solomon's wisdom. And so we invite people to join us every day on the American Family Radio Network from 3 to 4 Central.
Ah, that Solomon guy. He's overrated.
Wisest man who ever lived.
Wisest man who ever lived. Wasn't he the wealthiest too?
Probably so. You know, we were reading in Ecclesiastes about how he was trying to find fulfillment and purpose. He said, I set myself to wisdom and knowledge, and then I built great buildings and fountains and rivers and pools, and then he wine and mirth. And, you know, ultimately he found his peace and inner fulfillment in God. But, you know, proportionately, he probably was the wealthiest person who ever lived. And, you know, I've often said this, that America, the second greatest nation in world history, America, when she was good and godly and at her best, second only to Israel under King Solomon. And, you know, we've lost so much of that. I was just listening to your, you know, before I came on, talking about the alleged, you know, the proposed confiscation of weapons, disarming the law-abiding public. You know, somewhere around 1942, in so many words, Adolf Hitler said, to overthrow a nation, you must disarm the people. Hmm. And so I really tremble when I think about our Second Amendment rights being taken away by the candidates.
Yeah, personally, I think the old adage, that ship has sailed, in that there are millions and millions and millions of guns out there across America, and the idea that you're going to realistically start confiscating them.
Not really realistic, is it?
I don't think so, but I'm not saying they won't try, but yeah. You know, a mandatory buyback. What do you do? Are you supposed to bring your gun down to City Hall and they write you a check? What is this?
That's what they did in Connecticut. They had it might have been a mandatory buyback in Connecticut, but I saw lines. This was under the Obama administration. People willingly, it might not have been a mandatory. I don't remember, but what you do is you go down to City Hall or to the police department and they write you out a check for the guns.
Irony of all the gun confiscation and buybacks and gun control legislation that the Democrats are always proposing in the name of stopping mass murders and things like that is that every time they do that, the gun sales go up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. Obama was, I'm telling you, the gun industry needs to cut him a royalty check because that guy sold more guns than anybody, huh? Wouldn't you say? President Obama.
Oh, yeah. Oh, every time he said something, people would go out and buy. And remember when the Obama administration was buying up unbelievable amounts of ammunition?
Yes.
Mm. It just made people buy it and hoard it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you are right. I mean, the reason we have the Second Amendment, I mean, how do you oppose tyranny? Well, you're armed yourself, right? Mm-hmm. You're armed yourself. I mean, it was a different era. I understand that. But still, if you were to take away all the, look what happened. Didn't that happen in Venezuela? I mean, you start by taking away all the weapons and then. All the defense weapons.
I'll just say this quick thing because this is Alex's segment.
Yeah.
Just remember that the 10 amendments of the Bill of Rights were all added to get all the states on board to sign for the Constitution to assuage the fears of those states that were worried that the federal government would be too powerful. So the Ten Amendments mm-hmm. were added, the Bill of Rights, to protect the rights of citizens and the states against the growing power of a federal government, which yeah. means the Second Amendment is for that reason as well.
Mm. Let me ask you, let me ask you one more question related. Well, let's move on. Yep. Go ahead. Did you have something you wanted to discuss with Brother Alex, Fred?
I tell you, there was an incredible moment, Alex. I'm not sure if you've seen the video of this in a courtroom in Dallas yesterday. And this involved the case of former police officer Amber Geiger.
Yeah.
And there was a shooting in September of last year. She went home to her apartment. She got off duty. She goes home to her apartment building. And these are facts that were never in dispute. She missed the floor of where her apartment was. She thought she was on that floor, but she goes to the door of what she thought was her apartment, and she discovers there's somebody inside. She still had her weapon with her. She opened fire on this individual that she thought was in her apartment and killed that gentleman. Long story short, she lost her job, and she was eventually charged with murder. The trial's been held over the last 10 or 12 days. And very quickly during the penalty phase, she was found guilty. Very quickly during the penalty phase, she was sentenced yesterday to 10 years in prison. What was interesting during the sentencing phase, the victim's name was Brant John. His brother, Botham John, took the stand yesterday. And it was remarkable of what he had to say to this woman who had just been found guilty of killing his brother. Cut number four.
Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even bad for my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't going to ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
All right. So,
wow.
Part of the element, the mainstream media, the opening paragraph of almost every story covering this trial was the fact that she was white and the victim was black. All right? So that's why this is so important. Then, when the sentence had been read, 10 years in prison, the judge in the case, whose name is Tammy Camp, who is also African American, gets up and goes over and hugs Amber Geiger. Hugs her. And at some point, the judge goes to her office and gets a Bible and brings it to her. And I think we have at least a little bit of a report about what the judge was saying to Amber Geiger as she hugged her and gave her this Bible. And it's cut number five.
I have confirmed with her that she had a Bible. She shared that Bible with Amber Geiger, giving it to her. We were told that she read a Bible verse with Amber Geiger, and then they prayed together. It was Judge Kemp leading that prayer, and her hug, along with the same hug you saw from the brother of Botham John, the judge herself, in that moment together with Miss Geiger.
So it's an incredible moment that I don't need to talk about the tensions that are going on in this country, the racial tensions, but it was an absolutely incredible moment when you had the family member, you had this judge. I've never seen this before. The judge hugging the person who had just been sentenced to 10 years on a murder charge. This was an incredible moment, and I just wish there were more because, Alex, I think this would go a long way towards what's needed to heal in this country.
Yeah. I mean, this is Christian love vividly displayed right before us. I mean, and only Jesus could prompt such love and willingness to forgive and be reconciled. It's quite touching, and it's just beautiful beyond words, isn't it?
It is.
Absolutely. It is. That's great. Thank you, Fred, for bringing that story.
Yeah, it's it was incredible. It was a shock to see it this morning when I got up and first started to read this. But there was just, it's almost, there's still hope.
Well, and I would just add that to Alex's point too, that that Jesus is the path forward for our country.
Yeah.
I mean, yes. Individually, families, communities, racial tensions, and the thing is, this judge did not ignore what the police officer had done wrongly.
That's right.
Okay, so we're not pretending like something wrong didn't happen, but both the brother of the victim and the judge were pointing this officer to the way forward in her life.
Yeah.
And it was extraordinary. And the words of the brother were just extraordinary. Yeah. And
beautiful.
And like Alex said, only Jesus can make you do that, because human nature wants at least eye for an eye.
Revenge.
But usually revenge that exceeds eye for an eye. And right. This is an extraordinary story. We'll have to wait to see what God does in the lives of all these people.
Yeah.
Alex, you got something you want to promote or talk about that's coming up for you?
Well, thank you so much. A week from Friday, we're going to be in Richmond, Virginia with Truth for a New Generation. And Miki Addison will be there. Todd Starnes of Fox News will be there. Bill Federer is going to talk about the Constitution and all of this impeachment ordeal going on. And so it's going to be very exciting. There'll be seven speakers, and we're going to talk about Christian worldview and saving our nation through the gospel of Jesus. And that's October 11, 12, Richmond. And people can find out more at truthforanewgeneration.com.
Truth for you.
Truth for a New Generation.
.com. Thank you, Alex.
Hey, God bless you all. We'll see you all on Exploring the Word at 3 o'clock.
All right, Alex.
Dr. Alex McFarland, you know what happened there with the, I didn't follow that story that closely, but you had a female police officer, that was the woman who was convicted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was coming home from...
Got off work.
Got off work. She's coming home to her apartment.
Her apartment building, yeah.
And... She mistakenly goes in the apartment of this fella.
She got off on the wrong floor.
Got off the wrong floor, so she...
Botham Jean, I pronounced that right?
John,
yeah, okay.
And then she goes into this guy's apartment. She thinks it's hers, and she thinks he's an intruder, and she shoots and kills him. I mean, it's just tragic. I mean, But it sounded like to me she was on her phone.
That came out in the trial.
She was actually sexting
her
boyfriend.
I was wondering, how does that happen? You know, how in the world does that happen? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know if you go in a hotel, all the rooms look alike, and maybe there are some apartments, you know, that all the rooms.
That was one of the defense arguments, that the floors in this apartment building all kind of look the same.
But she wasn't just talking on her phone. She was texting, sexting.
Yes. Well,
so you see videos of people in malls who have their heads in the phone, they glance up a little bit, and they'll fall in the fountain. You ever see those?
Yeah.
Or they fall down a flight of stairs?
What I'm saying is I could see how that could happen if she's on the phone and she's got her head buried there texting, trying to walk. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then I could see how that could happen. I don't know what provoked her to shoot the guy dead. I mean,
She thought he was in her apartment.
Right.
He got up from the chair or the couch, or he came towards her, because he's thinking, what are you doing in my apartment?
Right.
He might have been confrontational.
Right.
Who knows?
Just like you said,
it's a tragedy.
A tragedy that, anyway. All right, Fred, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Ed, thank you. Well, you'll be back with me next half hour. Okay.
I'm going to get a pizza first.
I'm going for the free popcorn. We got free popcorn here at AFA that we affectionately refer to as Obamacorn. Remember Obama phones?
Oh, yeah, that's
They're
right.
They're free.
Yeah. And people feel entitled to the popcorn now.
They do. It's an entitlement now.
Yes, it is.
It's listed in our benefits for being employed here. Health insurance and free popcorn. All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.